After much pondering and reflection while attempting to compose this sermon, reviewing my notes from our rich conversation during Sermon Circle, and of course doing my usual thing of going one way and then veering off into another, and then another direction, and then another, I, funny enough, came across the story of Aesop's fable of the fox and the hen. The fable thus goes. One moonlit night, a fox was prowling about a farmer's chicken coop and saw a hen roosting high beyond his reach. "Good news! Good news!" he cried. "Why, what is it?" said the hen. "King Lion has declared a universal truce. No beast may hurt a bird henceforth, but all shall dwell together in friendship." "Why, that is good news," said the hen. "And there I see someone coming with whom I can share the good tidings." And so saying, she craned her neck forward and looked far off. "What is it you see?" said the fox. "It's only my master's dog that is coming towards us." "What, going so soon?" she continued as the fox began to turn away. "Will you not stop and congratulate the dog on the reign of universal peace?" "I would gladly do so," said the fox. "But I fear he may not have heard King Lion's decree." And what might the moral of Aesop's fable be? Cunning often outwits itself. There are indeed parallels, between this fable and Luke's gospel account for today. Herod is the fox, Jesus is hen, perhaps John the Baptist is the dog. The King Lion is God, of course. While the fox lied to the hen about King Lion's decree of universal peace, we know a different story from God. The truth is that God's reign is at hand, and it's present in deep and often surprising ways. How often do we use the term mother hen when we refer to a person who is especially nurturing, especially protective of those they love? What an interesting metaphor Jesus uses in this gospel reading. God attempting to gather God's children together, just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. It's interesting because a hen is not likely the first thing that comes to mind when we think of a protective animal. If you're anything like me, I'd sooner imagine a lion or a fiery bird of prey or something like that. You know, something with fangs and talons, fierce. Yet, the lowly, humble chicken is the image that Jesus chooses to demonstrate this relationship between God and us. God, the mother hen, calls us to the safety of the nest, underneath those downy wings, beneath the heart that beats, behind the heart that beats beneath her vulnerable breast. There is so much power in this image. Power tied to Abram's covenant with God, and power tied with strength and vulnerability with relationship. Today, it's so tempting for fear to be our fuel. The ongoing fear of the pandemic, Russia's war of aggression against Ukraine, fear of those who are different or other, fear of death, and fear that the things we value the most may be taken away from us. In response to this kind of fear, our society likes to write contracts. We seem to have a love affair with writing contracts. Contracts for services, contracts for jobs, prenuptial contracts, and as wonderful and helpful as wills are, they too are contracts to make sure the people and things we value the most will be cared for in the way we wish them to be. Contracts are about legal protection within relationship. However, this is also where they differ from a covenant, especially a covenant with God. When Abram creates a covenant with God, he is executing an ancient practice. A covenant ratified in blood is all-encompassing. If you were to make a covenant with your best friend today, it would mean that everything that belonged to them also belonged to you, and vice versa. If your best friend happened to have a great big mansion and a heap of creditors hounding them, well, guess what? You've got that too. A contract would protect you from the bad. A covenant guarantees that you are in relationship, and if one goes down, you both go down. On the flip side of that coin, that also means that if one succeeds, so does the other. God has established covenants with a variety of people and under a variety of circumstances. With Noah, the rainbow promising that God will never again destroy the earth with a flood. With Abram through animal sacrifice, and later as Abraham through circumcision. And of course, Jesus himself, who sets his face to Jerusalem so that his crucifixion might become yet another tie that binds us. Jesus knew his identity as a prophet and the Son of God. He tells the Pharisees, "Go and tell that fox, Herod, listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside Jerusalem." Jesus knows the stakes of being what he is, and yet he follows God's call. Jesus sees the role of God as one of a mother hen gathering her brood under her protective wings, safe from the ravages of the fox's life. In Luke's time, that meant not just Jerusalem and Israel, but the Gentiles as well. Like the Pharisees and Sadducees that Jesus encounters, we sometimes struggle with being gathered with other people, with people that are not like us, the others. If you are familiar with what happens when a fox gets into a hen house, then you know that most times the mother hen herds her chicks under her wings for protection and bares her breast so that the fox must kill her first before it can get to her chicks. It is the only defense she has. Later, there will be a flutter of wings and motherless chicks running around, but at least they are alive, though their mother may be dead. They are given the chance to live. This is the image that Jesus chose to bring to us. Our covenant with God means that everything of God's is also ours, even Jesus, God's own Son. The season of Lent is a time of repentance and a time to consider what it means to be in covenant with a vulnerable God. We learn that faith grows through use. The more we encounter our vulnerable God, The more we understand the strength of our own vulnerability. Friends, we can choose to live this type of faith each and every day. When we received the cross of ashes on our forehead on Ash Wednesday, it reminds us exactly how vulnerable and how human we are in this world. We are called to something so much more than living for ourselves and satisfying our own contracts. We are called to be the chicks that lead the way to our mother hen, our God. In our baptism, we are marked by the cross of Christ and sealed by the Holy Spirit of Christ's own forever. We are charged with an imperative call to love like that mother hen who opens her wings wide and exposes her heart to the foxes of the world in the hope that the world may live in light of gentleness and vulnerability. We are called to love like people who are in covenant with God, a fierce and trusting love that encompasses all that which God possesses. When we live this way, we will know the reign of a universal peace described in this Franciscan blessing. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer from pain, rejection, starvation, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to them in comfort and turn their pain into joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in this world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done. May the peace of God and the God of peace be with you all forevermore. Amen.